99 Jams, Miami's number one for hip-hop and R&B, home of the Trick and Trina Morning Show. Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. It's your girl, Super Cindy. And happy Mother's Day to all my moms out there. My moms, stepmoms, foster moms. I just want to give you the biggest hug ever. And with that being said, let me introduce you to my guest co-host, Dr. Delvina.
Hey, good morning, Super Cindy. Guys, this is 99 Jams Community Matters. This is guest co-host, Dr. Delvina Thomas, a psychiatrist right here in South Florida. And you know, every morning on Sunday mornings at 5 a.m., it's the Early Awakening Club. Yes, yes, yes. Super Cindy and me, every Sunday morning on 99 Jams Community Matters. If you have not downloaded the app, please download the 99 Jams app so that way you don't have to climb out of bed. You can pull up this great show from your phone and just lie in bed and breathe and meditate as you listen to my fabulous guests come on and discuss their topics. And this morning, of course, like every morning, we have another engaging, awesome guest. We have with us today, Ms. Kamasha Savu. Did I pronounce your last name correctly, ma'am?
Yes, you did a great job, Dr. Delvina.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for getting up so early this morning and coming on the show.
Excellent. I'm so excited for this platform. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Folks, as you know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so, you know, I try not to talk mental health and wellness all the time. But as you guys may have well figured out, life is about mental health. Everything we do leads back to the brain. So this month, we're emphasizing even more the mental health and wellness. And I have Mrs. Kamasha Savu on here this morning because she wrote a book and it's called The Ambitious Collective. Welcome again.
Thank you for having me. That May's month speaks to a segment of this book. I mean, I think to even do this book, you need to have your sound mind, you know, when you want to contribute rather.
That's right, man. That is right. Okay. I can tell already you're going to be a brain love advocate. Not going to be. You are a brain love advocate. And you're also a wife, a mother, a daughter, a lover, and you are unapologetically creative. You created this book. You have the experience and the knowledge to write this. So I want folks to know that you are a reputable source to provide this information. You have a graduate degree from Florida International University. You also attended Miami-Dade College in Miami. And you mentioned that your gratitude will forever be extended to those who have shown you early membership status, supported your ambition, and also who have taken consciously the Ambitious Collective pledge privately or publicly towards safeguarding its promotion. And you state, we are all a tribe. What do you mean?
That's right. So basically, the term ambition has to do, or the Ambitious Collective has to do with a group of people that really understand the concept of ascension. And sometimes they're not always at the point of ascending, but when they're in the waiting room, they're always applauding it for others. I knew writing this book that it wasn't just about a book. I knew that I was establishing a movement. I really wanted it to be a movement. So it was I was very intentional and strategic in the things and the ways that I wanted the book to come out. First, I wanted it to, after I wrote it, I read it several times myself because I needed it. I realized I actually needed it as well during the period that I wrote it. But I also knew that I wanted to add some clothing, some just memorabilia rather connected to the book. So when you didn't have it in your hand, you could actually give it to others. So when I talk to you about being a tribe, it's actually when you pass it on, you're actually passing on information. And the concept of tribe is a mentality of saying that there's a collective mindset to basically not only not stop it, but also empower those behind us. Otherwise, ambition can't be a collective and it can't carry on. Mm-hmm. So that's the combination to the safe, I guess, if you will, the clothes or the merchandise, whether it be a mug or a t-shirt or a sweatshirt you have, really is symbolic in two ways. Sometimes you're walking down the street, you have that on. People either A, know you read the book or you're that type of person. Because standing alone, the concept of the Ambitious Collective speaks to a mindset, an ethos that someone has that says that they understand that when you stand in spaces, you don't stand there by yourself.
Yeah. And you mentioned being a tribe, and, you know, I guess it goes with that saying that we are a village and we should help to govern one another, including our children and including all of our loved ones, and look out for one another and love one another and take care of each other. And you mentioned that this product is this book is a product of your experiences, your trials and tribulations. Can you tell us specifically what inspired you to write the book?
Well, I mean, I've been through a lot of eventful experiences professionally and personally. And in those spaces, it felt very lonely. It felt like there was no guide. I always joked to sort of make sense of it all that, you know, where's the manual? And time again, I found myself saying that. And time again, in particular, this one point in time when I was going through some tough times, because again, this book was not written in a good time, you know, but I knew ultimately that I wouldn't stay there forever, you know, and I had already envisioned myself coming out of it, but I knew that I needed to do something. Even if sometimes we leave spaces and you never know, the process. We leave those spaces and we're glad and they're better for it, but we never sort of leave a footprint of, like, you know, a guide. So, with all my, you know, conversations with young people and telling them, you know, this is not how things are supposed to be, or, you know, or even psyching myself up, I said, you know, let me sit down and just write the way it should be, or, you know, an opportunity for people to look at this book and go through it and be able to get something at different spaces. So it's not written like a journal where you can see an actual experience happen on this day, such and such time, because I knew that I wasn't alone. Not only these circumstances, what I was going through didn't just happen to me. I knew that other people could relate. So it was important for them to see themselves and then consider me. So that was a high priority. So I was very intentional when I said, not only to deliver it like a manual so that you can get nuggets from it. No one tells you about the process. No one. Very rarely, rather. I won't say no one, but very rarely you find someone tell you about the process and what goes on in that process, you know. Absolutely. That was my goal. My goal was to help someone, whether they were up or down. And I think you don't have to read it just because I wrote it when I was in a tough bind. I felt that even when I'm in a better space, it also offered me some gifts. You know, one of the chapter's titles is, it says, some gifts aren't wrapped. You know, and it's an homage to the fact that when you get a gift, it's not necessarily all wrapped. Gifts are in bows, you know, and sometimes there are times you learn lessons when you're down, opposed to when you're up, you know. And it was an homage to receive, understanding a gift may come in different forms. There's another chapter that says, if no one comes to save you, you might be lucky. Mm-hmm. And you would think that, you know, if this was literally your ship is sinking, you would want the life raft. But in this case, it's almost a mindset of you having to figure things out, you know, and being able to reflect on those spaces and what's happening to you in the moment.
Gotcha. So you mentioned that you needed to tell, I'll quote you, I needed to tell my truth, close quote, not to spoil the experience, but can you share what truth you wanted to share? Or was it several truths that you needed to share?
It was several truths. I felt like it was the front cover of the book says the book was written at the time I become an offering. And when you are an offering, or if you're not able, when you said to tell your truth, then you're not in a position. You feel like you're not in a position of power. And I felt like that one of the references I make mention to is that it's a popular statement, and I sort of put context to it, that the hunter will always be the hero until a lion can tell their story. Mm. And when you say that, it's because the hunter, if you think about it, is the person that is, you know, comes out victorious and are in spaces and in rooms that you're not in to actually communicate about how great or big the tiger was, and, you know, or, you know, whatever they conquered. But the person, one of the eat what you kill, makes the reference not to the popular statement, but the fact that people that are ambitious aren't carnivores. They don't want to devour you. In fact, they get maimed and because they get maimed, they're able to get back up and have the best stories to tell. So I make a lot of the book is written in metaphors. So you can start thinking about spaces that you're in, because no one, like I said, when you go back to when this all connects itself, you really are by yourself in a lot of moments when you're thinking about things and trying to analyze things. And no matter if someone gives you advice, it's going to be ultimately up to you to sort it out. And so ultimately that's what the book is offering. It's offering a guide through those spaces. It's not offering the solution, but it's definitely offering the guide.
Gotcha. So do you think most young adults, like I'm talking young adults in their 20s, do you think most are lost or haven't mapped out their pathway?
I mean, when you think about it, I don't think anyone, so you always get asked this question early, what do you want to be when you grow up? And we have a couple of ideas because we interface with a couple of people. But even when you go through college, the work world has changed so much. The concept of entrepreneurship has become important as well, and doable and viable. And, so there's different ways to get to home, now. So I don't think anyone has it figured out then. And sometimes people don't have it figured out in their 40s, but at the end of the day, the concept of ambition or ascending or trying to ascend is to constantly keep on going. Because if you don't keep going, then, you're basically almost offering yourself only just the moment of the space that you're in. And so I offer that gumption because there are places that I've thought in times I've gone through that I didn't know when I look back, I'm like, how are you keep on going? I'm unapologetically make reference to God in this book, offering God as, it's seeing the gratitude in God, seeing how your ego, which is not, is an acronym, which means edge God out, how you think you're bigger than certain spaces that you're in. So I unapologetically talk about spirituality and just the fact that that's an important component to wanting to do anything bigger than the space or who you are, or be bigger than where you are, greater than where you are.
Gotcha. So you have two daughters. How are you directing them in life? Like, what teachings do you share with them on a regular basis?
Well, I honestly, that's a cool question, because my daughters, I have two daughters. I have a 20-year-old. Her name is Blake. I openly speak about Blake and I openly speak about Brooklyn. Brooklyn is 11 years old. They have been my muse they have been my muse through a lot of things that I've done professionally and personally, just thinking about how I can make them better, because they're part of my legacy. Because, legacy is not what you have to say about you, it's what others do. And that's really what the concept of legacy is. And so for me, I constantly look at guiding them only from spaces that they're great. So I don't focus on their deficiencies, because we all have them, but I focus on their strengths so that I can guide them to places that they can see what success is, however success is defined for them. So I try not to put any pressure on them. I learned that early. I was a great student in school. I went through the School for Advanced Studies, gifted programs, that type of thing. And sometimes your kids don't measure up to that, and it's important that you understand your kid and meet them where they are. And that was a priority that I focused on, not only just meeting them where they are, but also working on disappointment with them, working on coping, because that's a big deal. Because if you don't know how to cope, you're not going to be able to handle, and life will give you blows. So when you think about coping, disappointment, and meeting them where they are, then what is success, or whatever that understanding of that concept becomes their own, and it doesn't become the pressure of the world, So that's I'm just a realist, and that's just what I try to do. I'm not perfect, but certainly those are like my tools in my toolbox, if you will.
Got it. Okay. So if you're just joining us this morning, this is guest co-host Dr. Delvina Thomas here on 99 Jams Community Matters with Super Cindy. And our guest this morning is Mrs. Kamasha Savu. She has written a book called The Ambitious Collective. This book was written to empower people to be better, not to wallow too long in their self-pity, and to advocate for the rich spaces that they can grow in. And so we're just having a conversation about life, pretty much.
Right.
Mrs. Savu, you're sharing a lot of information and providing some, I believe, basically some things that could be helpful for people who may be in a challenging space right now in life. So we're talking about growing in life, managing challenges, because everyone knows that life is a challenge. And mental health, maintaining your mental health can be a challenge as well.
Yes. Yes, it can. And it can paralyze you.
Yeah. Yeah, it can. And so, you know, you were just talking about some of the teachings that you share with your daughters and how it's important not to project onto our children, not to pressure them. What would you, so let's take you and let's just create a hypothetical situation. You're your younger self. Maybe you're your oldest daughter's age, which she said she's 20. What would you tell your younger self, and how old would you be?
Oh, wow. there's so much to tell her.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I think it's so crazy because some people want to turn the clock back. Some people don't. I think that I would tell her to brace herself and understand having no regrets is okay. You know?
And what would you tell your younger self to brace yourself for specifically?
Life is going to throw you the craziest curveball. And that your faith is going to be challenged so hard, and you will need to, be able to maintain your sanity in that time.
Yeah. I think people are better prepared if we expect the unexpected. Not to sound cliche, but expect the unexpected. And
you're correct.
And just know that there will always be a hurdle to jump or a bump in the road that you have to just drive slowly across or, you know, try to get around. But life is full of challenges. And I think that's a thing. When we receive it and we don't see it as a negative challenge, if we see it as a lesson learned, I think you can cope better when challenges come your way. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. I think I speak in the book. It says that what happens to you doesn't sometimes happens for you. Mm-hmm. That's how I framed it. And in those moments when they're tough, they don't feel like they're happening for you. But if you look at the lesson, like you said, that's being, not to sound cliche, that's being delivered, it turns out to be a gift. So I just tied four chapters together right there. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a key element to sort of figuring things out, you know, to not looking at what's happening to you, you know, is something that is not for you, because it's happening. There's nothing you can do about it. It's happening to you. I would also caution younger stuff to be mindful of things that you get yourself into. That you don't have to, you know, and those are the things that, you know, to really know the difference. And one of the key lessons I talked to my daughters about when you spoke about daughters is that, you know, you're going to encounter two people. And some people are, you're going to be able to discern very quickly, are the people that care about who you are right now. And then the others that care about who you'll become. And you'll meet them along the way, and there's the differences, the person that cares are right now, there's always something to do. There's always something to get into. And then the person that cares about who you become is interested in sort of what you're, what's driving you to grow yourself. Yeah. And you'll meet them along the way. And some, you know, and those are, they all serve their purpose. So,
yeah. They serve a purpose, and there's something to be learned in all of these situations. And I'll just add that when there is something emotionally challenging that's occurring, I always ask myself, what am I supposed to learn in this situation? And I also ask myself, how could I have managed this differently?
Right. Right. It's true. It's true. But you're grown enough to say that to yourself. When yeah. you said, when you talk about younger, you're not able to discern the wisdom. And that's yeah. where those, the spaces of wisdom. And I think when I got older, I was able to label the state of affairs I was in. I was able to reflect and say, oh, this is what you were, you know, you're going through your period of stupidity, or you're going through your period of, you know, whatever it was, and be okay. Oh, this is what you were doing, you know, in that moment. You start labeling your state of affairs better, just like you just said. And that's why you can have that conversation. But that's why I think this book is kind of cool, because I gave it to some young people coming out of high school. And I know when they read it, it's going to be different when they read it at 30, you know, if they happen to keep the book and not pass it on.
Got it. Yeah. And so for young folks who are listening, you heard her say that when you're younger, some things you just don't know. And it's hard to discern certain things. So you got to be a great listener. You have to listen to older folks and people who have the experience and get this book, The Ambitious Collective, so you can read about it and learn some things that you may not have figured out already. This is why it's great when folks like Mrs. Savu share their wisdom and their knowledge and their life experiences. Mrs. Savu, if you could please tell folks, how can they purchase your book? How can they find your book? How can they follow you on social media and your movement?
So social media rules the world. So you can find me on Instagram at Collective I Am. So it's at Collective I Am. The book can be purchased on Amazon. You type in The Ambitious Collective, you'll find it. I also, putting that aside, I established a website where everything can be garnered. So you can get to the clothing, all the memorabilia, in addition to being able to book me so we can have a further discussion about the book. Hoping to do that at a lot of some colleges, in the fall. And also I will continue to do book signings. I'm doing one this Sunday at the Hampton Art Lovers art galleries. So popping up at art galleries around town. So that's good. But the website is www.theambitiouscollective.com. So all that information is in one place, but certainly you can follow me at Instagram at Collective I Am.
Okay. And by this Sunday, you mean today, correct? Your event is today.
Oh, yes, 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 absolutely. Yeah.
Doing all those interviews and stuff. So yes, yes, yes. So guys, yes. Tell them again where they can go today for your book signing.
We're at Hampton Art Lovers. It's in downtown Miami. I'll be there from 11 to 3 today. And you can register on Eventbrite at hamptonartlovers.eventbrite.com. Come out. If you don't have the book already, I'll have copies where you can purchase and get it signed by me, the author. And I'll actually be coming out with two other authors because, again, we're a tribe. We're a collective. Two young authors that helped me along the way. So I wanted to throw the rope back in that way. And so we'll be out there at the Hampton Art Lovers Gallery. It's across from Red Rooster. If you know that. Heritage 5 area. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great area for your book signing.
Thank you.
And so, not to ask a silly question, but can people buy books there at the event, or do they need to have the book already and bring it with them?
No, you can purchase the books at the event. I'll have copies and I will be signing them at the event. So.
Okay. Perfect. 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 Well, thank you for joining me this morning on 99 Jams. I appreciate you.
Dr. Delvina, you're awesome. Keep please giving people this platform, and we're so gracious to have it. So
absolutely. Guys, that's been it. You've heard me, Dr. Delvina, here on 99 Jams Community Matters with Super Cindy. And our special guest this morning, Mrs. Kamasha Savu, the author of The Ambitious Collective. Check her out today, guys. She just gave you that information on how you can go to the book signing. If you don't have a book already, you're still in there. You can buy a book today at the event. And don't forget, download that 99 Jams app. Follow 99 Jams on all social media, as well as Super Cindy and me, Dr. Delvina, and come back because I have another guest that's coming on and we're going to have an intense discussion of mental health and wellness, man. It's going to get personal. Thank you, guys.